Well, Wall Street is hunting down the individual investor who is not playing by their own rules. So when a regular guy starts winning in the Wall Street game, they hunt him. They use the government to hunt him. They use their big business to hunt him. All this to say, Wall Street and big business does not want you to win. They want to be the only ones winning the game. So this, according to the Wall Street Journal, a brief backstory on this headline, the guy, Keith Gill, who keeps boosting the GameStop stock and causing big losses on Wall Street is in trouble for causing problems to the rich and powerful. This is the same guy who caused GameStop and AMC stock to skyrocket, not because he wants to manipulate the stock, but because of his legitimate enthusiasm for those companies. And since big banks on Wall Street were betting on those stocks to tank, they continue to lose billions as his enthusiasm boosts the share value of those that they are thinking should be going down. Now, here is what this... Sorry.
Really quick, did you see that movie called Dumb Money?
I don't think so.
It's about this. You should watch it. It is hilarious. It's a really good movie. Paul Dano, I believe, is the main character. But
it's about GameStop issue?
Yes.
Or something like this. Oh, okay.
Yeah, watch it. It's really good.
Okay.
Anyone who hasn't seen it.
A couple of weeks ago, we did a rundown on exactly how this guy, you know, got started boosting this stock in 2021, how regulators, you know, got involved, how even apps were turning off buyers' ability to support him. So we've been through this. And if you want more backstory, you can seek out that segment. But here is what this headline says to me is that they will come for the regular guy if it's hurting the big guy, because the regular guy can't win and the big guys cannot lose. I mean, I don't know any other way to see it. The journal now reports that not only is E-Trade considering turning off his accounts, but government regulators are investigating him too, says the Massachusetts Securities Division is looking into Keith Gill. And also the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, have been reviewing trading in GameStop call options around the time of his social media posts, according to people familiar with the agency's efforts. The options trade sparked internal discussions at the SEC over whether they could be considered manipulation. One of the people said it couldn't be determined whether the SEC was reviewing Gill specifically. So what is their case against him for market manipulation? Well, they say he's not just an amateur investor. He holds several securities industry licenses and was previously a registered broker with Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance. And they had paid out a settlement in 2021 by state regulators for failing to supervise his social media and trading activity. So how exactly should they have done that when he's been crystal clear that he's only posting on behalf of himself? He's not advising anybody. It's clear. I mean, his original Reddit name had the F word in it. So clearly nobody should think that they're dealing with Mass Mutual, right? And think like, oh, this is official advice from a Wall Street bank. I don't think so. So the question is like, is he an institutional investor or a retail investor? He only invests for himself, so that would qualify him as a retail guy, but is it different because he may have had some licenses to be a stock broker before? And as being an ex-broker, does he have different rules then that prohibit him from using his own social media to say, hey, I legitimately love GameStop stock. Sorry. The problem is he hasn't said anything of the sort. He only posts in memes, in images. This is the image that he started with, is a gamer sort of starting to lean forward and take some stuff seriously. Ever since that, it's mostly images. He doesn't say much. It's a code. He's speaking in code. So the SEC, could they really say your memes are construed as financial advice? What? Like, that's absurd, right? And presumably, he's only manipulating the market by showing enthusiasm. Is enthusiasm crime think? I mean, they would have to make that point, right? Do we see it any other way? Here's what he posted on Monday. or on Friday rather, all he did was post his own position to Reddit. And then again, GameStop stock jumped again. Now, this is an exciting spreadsheet. Again, no words, symbols. And I mean, I think all spreadsheets are exciting, but because of these numbers, so many of them green, we're going to explain that in a second. Is just his success and enthusiasm a market manipulation? I don't know. Is it any difference than like Kim Kardashian saying she likes a lip gloss and then that lip gloss selling out?
Well, and what's the difference of that? What's that guy that's on CNN or whatever, the guy that always gets on and talks about stocks? Jim Cramer. Like, what's the difference? Like, that's actually, like, he's telling people to buy and sell things. That could be construed as market manipulation. But that's on national TV.
Right. And I used to be a CNBC reporter, and you have to disclose what you are personally invested in order to, you know, for all SEC regulations. So you can say, do this, I'm doing this, right? And then your very act of doing this has other people either follow or not, and does manipulate the market. You're absolutely right. What were you going to say, Philip?
Well, I saw on a Reddit post that explained this really well. And it's like, they were talking about Warren Buffett. Like, it's perfectly legal for Warren Buffett to find a stock he likes, buy as much of it as he can, and hint that he's found this great upcoming stock, buy as much of it as he can, build up all of the, you know, people getting, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just kind of build it up beforehand. He buys a bunch of it. Then he comes out and says, okay, here's the next big thing. Then people start buying that stock along with him. He makes a bunch of money because he bought it early. And that's perfectly legal. They don't consider that market manipulation.
Right. Yeah. So, and it's no different.
It's even more on the nose than what Keith Gill is doing.
Yes. Right. It because he knows that his own promotion of it will. And I guess Keith Gill must know at this point that if he posts enthusiasm, he's got this cult following that will be excited too and may follow him. But there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I talked about this last time that we talked about Keith Gill, and I want to sort of put a little pin in this because my biggest fear is that he is used to remove our freedoms to talk about anything financial and prevent any run on the bank, any sort of, you know, anything that shows us the fallibility of the U.S. stock market or American banking system. And so if they do that, if they use this as an example, there is maybe some possibility, given that I've never met him in person, I've only seen him in congressional testimony, that maybe he's a false flag. I would hate to think that because I like the idea. I'll admit it. I like the idea of him as this ombudsman for the regular guy. But that's a fear that I sort of hold aside. Let me know if you share it. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, it's just a lot more of this rules for thee, but not me. It's like, you know, Congress and like, look at Nancy Pelosi. She became a 100 millionaire in the position that she's been in by getting inside information on stocks. And it's like, they can do all of this stuff and not a single person, not during the housing bubble or anything like this, have any of these people spent any time in jail. It's like it's an open door for them to just screw over people. They can, you know, make bad investments with their money and they're totally fine. But one little guy makes some money using the system that they created to his advantage, and he's a bad guy.
Right.
It's so frustrating.
And then when the bad guys, or, well, I don't want to, by default, when the big banks start to lose, they have an absolute fit, a big whiny baby fit, and call foul and say, oh, this is not working for us. It's always supposed to work for us. We're the victims here. We got to stop this guy. So it's wild. In fact, even CNBC had a guest on, this man's name's Tom Sosnoff, who said, this is really not any different from what any, even if he is a trader, even if he's licensed, from what any other trader does when they just share their own books, which is legal.
Do you think this is Keith Gill? I mean, behind this Roaring Kitty account, it's the way he's communicating, not on YouTube, meme only, has changed a little bit. And after you answer that, do you think that it would be smart for E-Trade to kick him off the platform and maybe go somewhere else? Because I don't know why that would benefit E-Trade's owner, Morgan Stanley, one bit.
Well, first of all, I have no reason to think that it's not him. I mean, that would be, I think that would be kind of crazy. I mean, I know I've heard the rumors like everybody else, but I think that's kind of, I don't think that's the case. I think this probably is. And I'm sure, you know, push came to shove, E-Trade could probably confirm that. So I have to assume it's him, and I have to assume he's just talking his book just like anybody else. And then again, assuming he doesn't have access to any material non-public information, he's not an insider, I don't see any problem with it. As far as, you know, what E-Trade or Morgan Stanley does, I don't see how it's that much different from a Morgan Stanley analyst talking their book, and which they do all the time. And I don't think there's a big difference there. And as far as should E-Trade kick him off the platform, well, you know, that's a business decision they have to make. I'm pretty sure that every other brokerage firm, every other online broker in the entire industry would scoop him up in a heartbeat. So I think they should be lucky they have him and a bunch of his followers. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we would have any issue taking him.
That guy's punk in a good way. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, this I don't know why this popped in my head, but this reminds me of the Jesse James story where the railroad is trying to go through Kansas where Jesse James lives. And they get so much pushback that a guy proposes a new route for the railroad to the owner who's putting the railroad down. And he's like, what the hell is this? He's like, why is it routing down through here? He goes, well, we just found that it's cheaper to go around Jesse James. Hmm. It's like, this guy is making it like he's making these people lose a lot of money. And when they start losing a lot of money, that's all they care about. And it's like, they're going the means that they will go to in order to take somebody like that down is scary for us, because it's like, what, like we're told, hey, go day trade, go sign up for this app and buy these stocks. But then if we do it and we end up figuring it out and doing it very well, they're just going to kick us off the platform.
No, but it shows that they need us to be their sort of patsies. I can't remember.
Well, they need us to lose is what they need. They need us to come in there and lose, because we're putting our money in. They get our money and then we lose it. But if we start making it and anytime, like, we can make our money back, that's fine. But if we start going into their pockets, well, that's not good.
Right. I can't remember. I think it's Flash Boys, the 2014 Michael Lewis book. He talks about how industrial or institutional investors, they have such sophisticated tools that when they buy something, you cannot compete with them because they're getting it at such tiny fractions of a second before you, so that even if you follow the trend that you're watching, you are going to get it at a higher price and they're going to get it at a lower price. It's rigged against you. So they need you. They need you to buy it at a higher price in order for them to win. You cannot win. You need them to win first for the market to work as it is. And so once someone starts winning at a game that they're not trying to play, that becomes a problem. And you bring up a good point, because if you're an E-Trade customer right now, you should be terrified that they're looking at one of their customers who's winning and realize that Morgan Stanley, the parent company, doesn't want you to win. You're an owner of this account and they want you to lose. They want you to pay their high fee accounts and lose so that their industrial guys can win. And if you start to win, they can revoke your account. That's wild. Well,
what's the difference between that and a casino? Like, there's absolutely no difference between that and a casino, because if you go into a casino and you're giving them money and they'll give you a little bit back of your money, a little bit at a time. But once you start winning every time, you're either stacking the deck, like they're going to figure out how you're cheating to make that much money and they will kick you out.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Well, they don't even need, a casino doesn't even need to prove or think you're cheating. They can just, if you're making too much money, they can cool you. They can be like, all right, well, you're done for the day.
Right. So clearly E-Trade can too, right?
Yeah.
They can just say
that. So what we've just revealed is it's just another big casino is all it is. The house has to always win. Otherwise, you're out.
Yeah. Now, we don't have to guess how Wall Street feels about this, because just a few weeks ago, SEC Chair Jay Clayton told CNBC that he doesn't like this. He does not like to see the little guy winning like this. It's not real investment, he says.
This is Jay Clayton. He is former SEC chair and a CNBC contributor. And Jay, we've been kicking this around this morning. I got a whole lot of different takes on this. First of all, The short sellers didn't learn their lesson last time around. Second of all, retail investors are back with a vengeance, but you can't really call this investing either. These are massive swings. As a former SEC chair, what do you think when you look at all of this?
Well, it bothers me. It bothers me on many levels. I think your last guess got it right. It's a lot closer to gambling than it is to trading, and it's certainly not investing.
Okay, you can't call this investing. That's what she said. That's her leading question, which is so interesting because the traders are not really investing. They're taking a stock, they'll sell it right away whenever the numbers work for them, right? The institutional guys. Whereas Keith Gill, what he showed us with these positions on Monday is this is investing. He's holding and doubling down. I'm going to defer to Ian Carroll to explain that.
Oh, see, he's just a pump and dumper. No, he's not. Because he just posted on Reddit for the first time in 3 years, and he posted a position update. And holy sh! The last position update, he had 200,000 shares worth $19 million of GameStop. Now he has 5 million shares. Bro didn't just hold, he doubled down again and again and again. What is that? Five times over? That's 25 times the position? I presume the screenshot was taken on Friday where it's showing a gain on the day of $10 million. So not only does Keith Gill now have $115 million worth of GameStop shares, which he has been holding like a silverback. Remember, dude could have just sailed off into the night with millions of dollars of profit and never gone online again. But instead, not only did he 20x his position, he also bought $65 million worth of call options that expire in 3 weeks on the 21st. If you don't know what a call option is, it means betting the price is gonna go boom, boom. So to be clear, I am not telling you to buy GameStop. I'm just saying that we're all holding and we've been holding all along. And we already knew that deep value was holding with us. Just all the and shills on the internet were trying to pretend like it wasn't true.
All right, well, it's true. That's he bought it, he held it, he continued to invest in it, and they're calling foul on him. Well, and they're saying that's not really investing.
How is shorting a company considered investing, but buying stock and holding it in hopes that the company makes money and it's successful, how is that not investing? Like, do I not understand what the word investment means? Like,
I don't understand this either.
If I'm going to make an investment in my daughter's future, I don't do that by making her, like, I don't know, live under the stairs and never go outside. And that's not an investment. That's like hoping that she will fail.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
is hurting her for the insurance money is what they do. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to point out again, like that movie, Dumb Money, it shows like the, It's a really good movie the way they do it because it shows him like, okay, just hold. He's like telling people and he's got like people coming after him and everything. And he's still like, nope, just hold. It's Paul Dano again. He plays Keith Gill in the movie. And it's just amazing to see how bold and how much strength this kid has to just hold this stock because he could take it out and be a multi-quad millionaire, right? But no, he holds it and he's doing it because for a reason, to hold fire under their feet, to prove to them that their system is flawed or whatever, like that they shouldn't be doing this stuff. So he is like a true modern day Robin Hood.
Yeah. Love it. Again, except Robin Hood did steal from the rich to give to the poor. I mean, he's stealing from nobody. He's just buying what was publicly available, which was a stock to him as a
right.
Trade.
But they see it as stealing though. That's how they're trying to paint it as he's now stealing.
Right.
Yeah. And ironically, the Robinhood trading app, when all of this started, removed the buy button for all of the retail investors because Citadel was losing money.
Yes.
And the sell. They wouldn't let them sell GameStop either.
No, I think they could sell it.
No. They wouldn't let them sell. That's the only thing they would let them do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. You're right. Now, this is just so transparent on behalf of Wall Street. It is proof positive that Wall Street and the government work hand in hand. The government does what Wall Street wants, and Wall Street controls the government. They are symbiotic bedfellows. I like how this person put it on X. This Rudy Haverstein says, you can't even satire satirize anything anymore. It's so absurd. We've had countless financial serial killers roaming the earth this century, slaughtering the peasants with impunity. But Keith Gill is beyond the pale, for F's sake. So, you know, if they kick him off the platform and you're an E-Trade customer, or even if they don't kick him off and this is rumblings of such, how do you feel about your E-Trade account? And maybe, again, even more importantly, how will they punish the rest of us for exposing this corrupt game?
I like the way George Carlin put it. It's a big club and you ain't in it.
Yeah, exactly. So this, again, is my bigger fear. I mean, I will say, sure, I'm rooting for the retail investors. Absolutely, I am. But I'm also very scared that we've seen already in the Twitter files that regulators have asked social media for the power to censor Twitter in order to stop a bank run or a stock market crash. That's not okay, but they want that power. And we've seen the SEC asking for control of AI for the same reason, to control you. Here is Peter St. Ange. He's describing this request and this transparent move from the SEC. This was a video he posted last October.
A few days ago, SEC Chair Gary Gensler gave a speech saying a financial crisis is, quote, nearly unavoidable unless we regulate AI. This is one of those rare scapegoat hostage combos. You see, if we have a financial crisis, which people like Gary in theory prevent, then it is clearly because we didn't let them censor ChatGPT. Meanwhile, for anybody skeptical about giving an authoritarian regime control over a tool with enormous potential to shape thought and expression so they can censor, surveil, and imprison political dissidents, the response is, give us AI or we break the banks.
Okay. He goes on to say that with this free speech, then we can talk about the sham of the financial system that we've got and see that the emperor has no clothes. And that's specifically why they want to take our free speech, as they are observing happen through Keith Gill.
So controlling AI for them becomes a sort of updated version of John Maynard Keynes' animal spirits, a question of controlling the plebs' base instincts and emotional overreactions that break financial markets despite the very careful prudence of our ruling regulators. Of course, what's really happening is unregulated speech might help the masses see that the system is actually insolvent, which it is. And that would, of course, be a disaster for the people who made it insolvent, such as Gary Gensler. That then dovetails perfectly with the desperate effort by governments around the world to control and censor broader speech.
Yep. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's why I didn't try. That's what's happening. This is showing us that the emperor has no clothes. The people who are making the system insolvent are struggling to keep the power to continue to do so because it makes them rich and not you. And they'll punish anyone who gets in the way of their sinister, evil plot. So, do you disagree with me? What did I say that you don't agree with? What are we going to do about it, you guys, as we see them use this to crack down on our freedoms? I don't have a plan right now other than to talk about it. So let me know if you do.
It's so crazy that this whole country was founded on fighting that kind of oppression from England. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we tried to get away from. And now it's like, it's just gone full circle and it's right back to the, like, complete right. control.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the update on GameStop. It is a fun story to talk about. It's upsetting as well, but we have to keep our eye on it again because they will use it to remove our freedoms. You mark my word. I don't predict much, but that's one thing I know is the government will always try to remove our freedoms, and we have to watch lest they do it while we're not looking.